people are well acquainted with divisions in families, hurt feelings, misunderstandings. We're all familiar with these, either personally or through friends. How much more sad is it then when the family divisions are in the family of God? For centuries, hundreds of millions of Christians have turned their back on their heavenly mother, protested her role in salvation history, and only grudgingly acknowledged her. But even as common sense tells us, if you want to fully understand a child, you must be familiar with the mother. I had a chance last week to sit down and talk with Father Elias Mary of the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate in Bloomington, Indiana. I asked him to help explain why the Catholic Church considers Mary so important.
Mary's importance in the Church is because she's important in the plan of God for us and for our salvation, that God did not save us alone by himself. In other words, the Incarnation required that he have also a mother who he chose to be born of. And if you follow the Franciscan thesis, which is that the Incarnation was always a part of God's plan and not plan B after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, but that God always intended to become incarnate, and that's pretty clear from scriptures that St. Paul writes about, that Christ is the firstborn of all creation. So Christ, not the second person, the eternal Word, is the firstborn, but Christ in his human nature is the firstborn of all creation. Now how can he be the firstborn of all creation if he enters into time 6,000 years after the creation of the world, after the first, you might say, Adam? Well, because it was God's plan that the first Adam and the first Eve were modeled after someone else. The human nature that Adam was made in was also made in the likeness of God, not just in his spirit and his soul that had an intellect, will, and a memory, but also in his human body. And when God created Adam in the garden, he had in his mind his son incarnate, whom he would model Adam's body after. So that although we talk about Adam and Eve as, you know, they're the first in time, the first in the mind of God was Christ in his human nature, and the mother of God, who he would take that human nature from. When Blessed Pius IX proclaimed the Immaculate Conception as a dogma of our faith, he said, in one and the same decree from all eternity, God willed both Christ and his mother.
There's a lot of talk in Catholic circles these days about the word co-redemptrix. I asked Father Elias what all the fuss was about.
Well, there's a lot of people who misunderstand that, and not just Protestants, but even Catholics who don't know their Latin or their catechism very well, think that somehow the Church is saying that Our Lady's divine, or that she's a goddess. And that's not what co-redemptrix means. Co just comes from the Latin cum, meaning with the Redeemer. She, it's feminine, so she who is with the Redeemer, Christ is our Redeemer, and she is our co-redemptrix. She cooperated in our salvation. If Christ didn't have a human nature with which to shed blood, there would be no atonement for sin. So where did he get that human nature? No matter how much you want to say, well, he could have done it any way he did, he took it from Our Lady. So that's the important thing to keep in mind. And all those who are against, even some of those in the Church who think that the co-redemptrix is not a good idea to proclaim in a dogma, none of them say that it's not teaching of the Church. None of them say that it's not true. Their main argument for not wanting to proclaim the co-redemption and mediation of Our Lady is because they said it would be bad for ecumenism. It'll make all the Protestants, you know, uptight. Oh, what are these Catholics doing putting Our Lady all of a sudden in the picture? And what they forget is Christ put her in the picture. And if the truth, if ecumenism is supposed to be everyone arriving at the truth, then we must proclaim the truth in all of its aspects. If the co-redemption is true, then let's proclaim it. And it is true, so we should proclaim it. And those who are against it don't say, haven't said that it's not true. They just say, oh, it's not prudent to say that. Well, obviously our Lord, and I think, would differ with them, because he's made her that. And you wanted to say, well, they don't like that word co-redemptrix. Well, there's no other term that really actually expresses what she is.
As in all family disputes, there comes the time for reconciliation, but that's not possible without honesty. Father Elias has some thoughts about looking honestly at the Mother of God.
St. Francis had a prayer that he prayed he composed, in which he referred to Our Lady as the Virgin Made Church. You might say that the Virgin, when she received the incarnation, and when Christ became incarnate in her womb, she became the first church, the first dwelling place of God on earth. And if you don't understand Our Lady and her role in helping to bring about the church, the first member of the church, you might say, is Our Lady. The first, other than the mystical head you have there, is the neck of the church, and the rest of us are the other members of the... You will not understand the church if you don't understand Our Lady. So I think that really the reason they don't they have a problem with Our Lady is because, in some sense, Protestants are under the influence or under the deception of the devil in many ways, because they've allowed themselves to see in Our Lady an obstacle where she's not. She's really the mediator. She's the road. She's the way that leads to Christ. In the divine plan, if God came to us through Our Lady, if He chose her, you can't argue that point. God chose to do it that way. You can say, well, He could have done it, but He didn't. He chose to come to us through the Blessed Virgin Mary. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The way that we return to Christ, and the surest way to make sure that we do find Christ, is that we return in the same way that He came to us, and that's through Our Lady. So, St. Louis de Montfort said it in a different way. Since Christ came to us through Our Lady, we have to return to Him through Our Lady. And if you throw out Our Lady, you will not even understand Christ after a while. And I think you look at the Protestants and where the Protestant churches are going, many of them are losing. They're becoming pagan in many ways. One of the Protestant denominations, I can't remember what it was, even allows you to change the formula for baptism. Because they say, well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's sexist. For all the feminists out there and all the people, let's use Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, or some other silly term. Well, they're no longer Christian. And I think that it's going to become obvious. Either you're going to remain, either you're going to come to the true faith, to the church, or you're not. And you can't remain in some kind of middle ground, a neutral. There's no neutrality in this battle. You're either for Christ or against Him. And the only way you're going to find out if you're really for Him is if you're with Our Lady, because she's the one that is truly the one that points the way to Him.
That was Father Elias Mary with the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate at Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center in Bloomington, Indiana. After the break, A View from the Pew.